Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our second hour of this weekend program. And if you want to hear the program in its entirety, if you missed the first hour, you can go to Facebook, where we post the show in its entirety on Mondays. Usually we get that up by about noon Eastern time. And, of course, you can always go to drhoffman.com and check out this program, the weekend program, as well as all our podcasts. So lots of ways to listen to Intelligent Medicine. Plus, there's more content besides this live broadcast. All right, we're taking calls 877-726-8255. That's 877-726-TALK to make it even more convenient. This hour, we're going to talk about a bounty of $100,000 to be offered by Robert De Niro, the actor, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the activist, for proof that vaccines are safe. They're saying that they will give $100,000 to anyone who can provide proof that vaccines actually are okay. So we'll focus on that momentarily. But first, let's talk to Debbie in Spring Hill, Florida. How you doing?
Hi, how are you? Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Hoffman.
My pleasure.
Yeah, I called because I was just wondering about something. My B12 is 279, and I asked the doctor if he could give me a homocysteine test, and that came back 12.9. Mm-hmm. But the MMA test came back to 260.
Okay.
So I'm just wondering.
So for our listening audience, you know, let's explain what this is. B12 can be measured directly, or you can assess your B12 status in a functional way. So it's first, you know, we can find out what is the amount in your bloodstream. And secondly, we can find out if it's working, if it's doing the job. And what B12 does is it keeps MMA, methylmalonic acid, and homocysteine down. And so it's not uncommon to see people with low B12 and high MMA or high homocysteine. And you have that situation. Right. So what did your doctor say about this stuff?
He told me to just take a sublingual B12, and I did it for 3 days, and I felt very agitated after taking it for some
That's
reason.
Interesting. Yeah, you actually may be someone who has a gene which makes you a little bit sensitive to the effects of B12. That is actually something that can occur. You know, suggestion, I mean, you need the B12. So, the suggestion is, you know, maybe take a not such a high dose. You know, you're maybe taking a huge dose and you're taking it sublingually, which means it gets in your system really fast. Or maybe eventually your body will get used to it, you know?
Yeah. I was just wondering, Dr. Hoffman, I worry about the homocysteine, that, like, because when you look online, it says you could have a stroke and you could have
dementia.
Heart attack.
Yeah.
It's 12.9 really high.
It's higher than we'd like to see it. It's not sky high. I mean, I have patients where, it's 21 or 24.
That can happen,
but less commonly. Most patients who are a little deficient in B12 give us a homocysteine in the neighborhood of, 12 to 16. And it really comes down. And the supplement that I recommend for that is something called MethylGuard. You can find it at drhoffman.com. It's sold only by doctors, but it's a combination of B6, B12, and folate. See, the problem is if you just take one of those, you may not address the problem completely. So really what we're talking about with homocysteine is something called methylation. And methylation depends on several nutrients. It depends especially on B12, folate, and B6, but it also may depend in part on things like SAMe, on vitamin B2 or riboflavin, evidence that phosphatidylcholine and phosphatidylserine may play a role in that, trimethylglycine TMG, which is also sometimes referred to as betaine. They all can help to lower homocysteine. But yes, you want your homocysteine lowered because you're going to be better off in the long term.
Yeah, I'll try that methylgod. I also have gastritis, so I would be assuming for the last 2 months it's been acting up. That's why.
Bingo. With gastritis, are you taking an acid blocker? Are you taking an acid blocking medication?
No, I don't take none of them. I refuse.
Okay. Well,
to.
The gastritis suggests that your absorption may be off. So.
Yeah, that's why
you're relatively low in B12. I mean, you gotta address the B12. By the way, doctors don't normally diagnose B12 deficiency unless your B12 goes below 200 or 180. And that's a huge mistake because they did a recent study on people who don't have B12 deficiency according to those rather stringent criteria. People in the range of 200 to 400, okay, where they think it's low, but it's not so bad. Don't worry about it. But they have problems. They don't do well. They have often low energy. They have less cognitive performance, and they may be at risk for disease, especially neurological disease. So, gotta take the B12 slowly.
I can tell the difference with my B12 being at 279. I feel a lot of anxiety attacks. I keep
there
having
you go.
Panic
yeah.
attacks. Yeah. So I'm going to try the methylgod. I'll go online today and get it from your site.
Excellent. Good job.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It very
Thank
much.
Thank you for your help. You have a nice day. Thank you, doctor.
You too.
Bye-bye.
You too, indeed. Okay, let's talk about the bounty. The bounty of 100 Gs, $100,000, that's being offered by actor Robert De Niro and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. To prove that vaccines are safe. Now, it's a little bit of a publicity ploy here, because how can you prove a negative, which is that vaccines are not harmful, right? In some way, shape, or form, they can easily rebut the contention that vaccines are, under all circumstances, without hazard. I mean, that's a piece of cake. Easy. It says here in the article, Robert De Niro and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. are looking for proof that vaccines are safe, despite overwhelming evidence that vaccines are safe. Okay, this article is from the Daily News, which takes the standard position that vaccines are safe. Well, many studies suggest that vaccines not linked to autism, vaccines are perfectly safe, et cetera, et cetera. But we know that, at the very least, a certain subsection of our populace experience adverse reactions to vaccines. So are we talking about just a few select individuals, or is this problem much more pervasive than we think? And how do you know when so many kids are coming down with ADHD and autism that vaccines may not be the proximate cause, the single event that triggers these conditions, but maybe part of the environmental soup that produces bad brain outcomes? I mean, it could be diet, deficiencies of certain key nutrients. It could be lack of breastfeeding. It could be exposure to various toxic environmental pollutants in the womb. And then on top of that, you shoot a little extra mercury into the system, mercury that is said to be safe, but for especially some genetically vulnerable individuals, may overwhelm their detoxification systems and cause problems. They say in this article, of course, that FDA study in 1999 found that thimerosal used as a vaccine preservative posed no harm except for hypersensitivity. So it's like you got maybe a rash. No, it's mercury. And mercury is something that we know is a neurotoxin. Kennedy, for his part, has been a long-term vaccine foe. It's of interest that in 2016, De Niro was forced to rescind an anti-vaccine documentary from the Tribeca Film Festival. He was under enormous pressure, and there was a firestorm, and he relented. So a lot of people felt that he copped out by not allowing that film to be. It's called Vaxxed, which has been shown widely. You don't have to go to his Tribeca Film Festival to see it. It's widely available, but he backed down then after controversy, despite initially defending the film and implying that he'd requested the movie be screened. Now it's as if he's trying to make amends. And I could, interestingly, and politics make strange bedfellows, you have President Trump enunciating concerns about vaccines, which is very un-PC, but nothing about Donald Trump is PC. He's a bull in a china shop when it comes to stumbling into issues which are hot button issues. And he has weighed in on the vaccine controversy, saying that, hey, maybe we ought to be looking into vaccines and maybe some kids are being harmed, which has led to howls of protest from the medical and scientific community. How could he possibly say that? You know, he's a global warming denialist and he's a vaccine denialist. But politics makes strange bedfellows, and an arch foe of President Trump, he said he liked to punch him in the mouth, is Robert De Niro. And, of course, Robert F. Kennedy, on the opposite side of the political spectrum from Trump, met with Trump at Trump Tower, and Trump said, hey, why don't you set up a vaccine task force and investigate vaccines? Trump was open to it. Kennedy took him up on it. And maybe, just maybe, we'll see some more vaccine research that'll clarify this issue. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And our number, 877-726-TALK for Intelligent Medicine.
You remodel your kitchen, you remodel your bathroom. Now remodel your gut. That's right, your gut. Any successful remodel job requires workers to show up with the necessary tools and ready to work. Well, it's just like that with probiotics. They need to come with prebiotics to encourage growth, as well as postbiotics to nourish the gut. And Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are the only brand of probiotics that do just that. Dr. O'Hara's is the only probiotic capsule that contains a rich nutritional prebiotic, along with a full spectrum of 12 selected probiotic strains and naturally derived postbiotics. During a 3-year fermentation process, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics create healthy, organic nutrients and the diversity of flora that are necessary for long-term digestive health. So remodel your gut today with the right workers. Get Dr. O'Hara's probiotics at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide today.
Congratulations! You've survived disco nights and 12-hour days, not to mention fast food and life in the fast lane. Now it's time to fight the effects of modern life in the digital age and aging itself with one of life's natural miracles, garlic. Its healing and health-giving properties are great, but what about the odor? Well, you don't need to eat raw cloves to get all the good things in garlic. Just take Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. University research confirms that Kyolic is the one true antioxidant garlic supplement. It helps defend you against free radicals and helps keep blood pressure and cholesterol in check. So if Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract can do everything researchers report, just think what it could do for you. See for yourself. For more information, go to kyolic.com. That's KYOLIC.com. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. For people who take their garlic and their health seriously, look for Kyolic where quality natural supplements are sold.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And we get callers through 877-726-TALK, but we also get callers via our website. And let's take a call now from someone who I can only identify as number 47 because he or she didn't leave a name. Let's hear it.
Dr. Hoffman, you seem to be touting corn oil as a healthy oil on one of the doctor shows I see on TV every once in a while. And I wonder what you think about that.
Well, if that is something that they're touting, they are totally wrong. And, you know, like, it's surprising that they let that kind of misinformation go out on the airwaves. But there's lots of misinformation on TV, in the print press, and on the web. You know, I guess you could call that fake news. It turns out that corn oil is one of the worst things that you can consume. But I see that there is still anachronistic advice, outmoded advice, particularly from such luminaries as the American Heart Association, that still suggests that you substitute butter and lard with corn oil or vegetable oil, using maybe safflower oil or sunflower oil. And these are oils that are polyunsaturated. And we know that polyunsaturated fats may be good for you, but the ones that are good for you are the omega-3 polyunsaturated fats, such as you find in nuts and oily fish. And those are beneficial, but the omega-6 fatty acids are pro-inflammatory. They may be carcinogenic in the long run. And they also don't take to heat very well because I have an article in front of me saying the following. Cooking with vegetable oils releases toxic cancer-causing chemicals, say experts. Scientists warn against the dangers of frying food in sunflower oil and corn oil over claims they release toxic chemicals linked to cancer. Okay, this is from last year. Cooking with vegetable oils releases toxic chemicals linked to cancer and other diseases. The results of a series of experiments threaten to turn on its head official advice that oils rich in polyunsaturated fats, such as corn oil and sunflower oil, are better for the health than the saturated fats in animal products, such as full-fat dairy, cheese, and butter, and, of course, meat. And more recently, studies are showing that those things aren't really associated with cardiovascular disease and don't really turn cancer on unless you're having highly processed versions of them. They say that toxic aldehydes are released by frying in these polyunsaturated oils, like corn oil and safflower oil. A professor of chemistry, Dr. Martin Grootfield, said that his research showed a typical meal of fish and chips fried in vegetable oil contained as much as 100 to 200 times more toxic aldehydes than the safe daily limit set by the World Health Organization. But in contrast, heating up butter, olive oil, and lard, even lard, perish the thought, lard. Who eats that anymore? That'll kill you, right? Well, in tests, they found that those things, butter, olive oil, and lard, produced much lower levels of aldehydes. And what was it that produced the lowest level of harmful chemicals when used as a means of frying food? Coconut oil. Perish the thought. That's a saturated fat. But the bonds, the stable bonds in saturated fats, prevent the development of toxic byproducts. These oils are highly stable at high temperatures, and so they're ideally suited to high-temperature cooking. So if you're going to fry or sauté, consider, and I use coconut oil. It's a saturated fat, but I think it's perfectly harmless and fine to use. So great question. Thanks for bringing up an important issue. Our number, 877-726-TALK, and we'll be taking more of your phone calls. Got lots more to talk about. We're going to weigh in on the issue of baldness when we return. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Stop breathing right now. No, really, hold your breath. This is how it feels when you're stuffed up due to colds, flu, pollen, dander, post-nasal drip, or any other reason. That's when you need clear saline nasal spray, the only spray with the power of xylitol. That simple saline solution you're using is only doing half the job. It's just rinsing. In multiple research studies, xylitol has been shown to reduce bacterial adhesion and help keep your nose moist and clean much longer than saline alone, making Clear more effective at washing away that nasty gunk in your nose. Clear is so powerful, it's been granted over 11 patents. So step up from that wimpy saline spray to something that actually works faster and better at getting you the relief you need to start breathing now. And if your doctor isn't talking to you about Clear for your congestion, maybe you need to get a new doctor. You don't just rinse your hands, why would you just rinse your nose? Clear saline nasal spray with xylitol. Available at Walmart, CVS, Whole Foods, Rite Aid, and everywhere else. Or clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Now go wash your nose.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you, and we got a caller, Carol from Manhattan. Oh, well, then let's take Mary from the Bronx. Oh, okay. Well, we got neither, so this gives me an opportunity to let them call back. And in the meantime, if you're interested in managing your blood pressure without medication, I've got some really exciting news about an effective non-drug treatment. The Zona Plus. The therapy comes from a U.S. Air Force research project on fighter pilots. They found that steady hand pressure reduced blood pressure over time with lasting results. And the Zona Plus applies that technology in a simple handheld smart device that you hold for 12 minutes once a day. It guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. There are numerous studies, at least 22, that confirm that regular use can result in an average decrease in blood pressure of 10% or more in just 4 to 8 weeks with no negative side effects. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure 10% or more naturally, and it's so effective that it works for 9 in 10 people. So you can try it risk-free. Zona Health offers a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Try the Zona Plus for 3 months and see if it works for you. And if it doesn't, return it for a full refund. To find out more, go to tryzona.com or call toll-free 888-408-6141. That's 888-408-6141 or tryzona.com. Okay, talking about baldness here. We obviously need more research to come up with a cure for baldness. That would be, you know, the holy grail of medicine. I mean, if you think Viagra is a blockbuster drug, well, think about the potential for the ultimate anti-baldness drug. I mean, we have some medications that put a dent in baldness. One of them is Proscar, which in a diluted form, Propecia, has recently attracted headlines because Donald Trump's using it to keep that orange crest that he's so proud of. He takes this medication, but it, you know, in my experience, it only works partially to slow the progression of hair loss. It doesn't necessarily make hair grow luxuriantly, and it's not a panacea for baldness. So there's been a quest to find the baldness gene. And if we can find the baldness gene, perhaps then we can block it, or we can fix the bad pathway, and then we can restore hair growth. But there's some good news, and there's some bad news on the baldness front. You want to hear the good news? We have now discovered and mapped the genetics of baldness. That's the good news. Now you want to hear the bad news? More than 200 baldness-linked genetic markers have been found. So baldness is infinitely complex. You know, imagine the combinations you can have when you have two things going. You know, you can have, you know, like a 4x4 grid when there are two factors. But imagine a 200x200 grid in multiple dimensions. And then you can visualize the complexity of the baldness problem. And so they say we're still a long way from making an accurate prediction for an individual's hair loss pattern from simply their genetics. And it also has to do a little bit with what turns and turns off these bad genes. All right. The study comes from more than 52,000 men. And what they found was that there were 287 genetic variations located in more than 100 genes that were linked with severe hair loss. That's kind of complicated. It has to do with the androgen receptor, which binds to testosterone. That's linked to hair loss, but there are other genes involved. And so the researchers expect that although these genetic tests may give us some prediction of who is more likely to grow bald, genetic sequencing is unlikely to yield a quick fix for baldness. But here's some good news for at least one subset of baldness. Women who undergo chemotherapy are at risk for losing all their hair. And when that happens, it's a great loss of self-esteem. It's one of the more debilitating side effects of chemotherapy. I mean, chemotherapy can be devastating. It can cause nerve pain. It can cause diarrhea. It can cause brain fog. But hair loss, especially for women, big problem. So they've developed a cap, a scalp cooling cap that can help to prevent hair loss. And this has been around for a while, but the concern was, would it reduce the efficacy of chemo? Let's say you have a cancer metastasis to your scalp, and if you cool the scalp and the chemo doesn't get there and doesn't make your hair fall out, might you be at risk? New study. University of California, San Francisco, 122 women with stage 1 or stage 2 breast cancer. They used a device called the Digni Cap. Like dignity? The Digni Cap. Named by a Swedish company called Dignitana. And what they found was that the therapy was extremely helpful at preventing hair loss. In the past, what they've done is they've done caps where, you know, you put it in the freezer, you put it on, and then when it starts to, you know, warm up, you put it back in the freezer, put it back on. It's kind of makeshift. This one is a cap that is placed on the patient's head before and during each chemotherapy session for at least 90 minutes afterwards, and an attached machine circulates a liquid coolant, maybe liquid nitrogen, through the cap. And it was very effective. The 5% of patients who wore the cap had no hair loss. That's pretty good. Most of the patients had some hair loss. 36% lost 25% or less of their hair. And so pretty effective at preventing, at least in part, the hair loss associated with chemo. It's called the DigniCap. And coming to an oncologist or a hospital near you, and maybe a way to counteract the hair loss associated with chemo. All right, let's talk to Carol from Manhattan. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. I've been listening to you for over 10 years.
Excellent.
And even about five years ago, I went to your lecture on bone density or osteoporosis.
Yes, great.
However, that's my question today. I recently got my bone density test. I have it every 2 years, and I'm 78 years old. And, of course, I've been taking things for my bone density, like strontium and so forth. But my question is, how bad are these scores, and what more could I do to improve them? I have both the T and the Z score. Which one would you prefer?
Let me explain. The Z score is your relationship to women your age. That's not commonly used. And, you know, Z score is usually better than a T score because when, you know, your T score is done, it compares you to the average 35-year-old. So give me your T scores.
Okay, the T score, spine, minus 3.5.
That's bad.
Femoral neck, minus 1.7.
Okay.
Hip, minus 2.0.
Okay, so actually what you have is mostly involvement in the spine, and the hip is osteopenia. Mm-hmm. It's not so bad in the hip. But in the spine, it's pretty bad, and it puts you at risk for spinal fractures, or, you know, what are called compression fractures, where literally you start to shrink and you get bent over and you can become hunchbacked, and that ain't good. You can suffer a lot of pain associated with those.
I could say one other thing. In 2008, it was minus 3.3. And now here,
what you're showing is that, 9 years later, it's not that much worse. So that's a good
minus 3.5.
Right.
Yeah.
So what are you doing to prevent the loss? I mean, what, are you taking supplements? You taking medication? You doing exercise? What are you doing?
No medication. I've listened to you, and I've been afraid to take any kind of medication.
Yeah,
So I've been taking strontium for a number of years. I take, of course, magnesium, and I take a lot of other things.
Uh-huh. Okay, well...
No formulas, though, for it.
Yeah. So what you're doing is, I mean, it's if you were a patient of mine, that would be a little unsatisfactory, because I would like to see your bone... increase. I mean, we can take some solace from the fact that it hasn't decreased, but you're relatively young at 78. You got a good chance of living well into your 90s, and you could, if you continue to lose bone.
No,
seriously. I mean, that's actually actuarially correct, is that women who attain the age of 75 have a pretty darn good shot of hitting 90, according to statistics. I mean, if you don't get felled in, you know, late middle age, then you're likely to live a really long time. Especially people who listen to this program. I mean, it's a little bit of a judgment call. Like, maybe there's something that is missing from your program. You might be a candidate for medication. 3.5 puts you a little bit at risk for spinal compression fractures. It's not quite good enough. So, you could pull the trigger and take a medication for a short time. Sometimes these medications you only take for a couple of years.
Which one?
Well, you might take Forteo injections. That would be my preferred treatment. I'm not so much of a fan of some of the other treatments, which have worse side effects. You know, some of the bisphosphonates, particularly the ones that are given intravenously, like Reclast, you got a lot of side effects. Forteo, maybe an answer for you, you take it via injection. It's self-administered over a couple of years. It should kick your bone up a notch. maybe that's something you should consider. And continue taking the supplements, and, you know, I'd have to look at what you're taking to make sure you're taking the right amounts of everything, you know. Okay?
Okay. Right. Can I ask you one question about grapeseed oil?
Yeah, quickly.
Yeah, I use that all the time, but do you consider that a very bad oil, or can I continue to use that for, like, frying?
I think you can use it sparingly. I mean, I don't really like it at high temperatures because it does have a fairly high, it has a lot of monounsaturated fat, which makes it more stable than, you know, corn oil or safflower oil. But yeah, I wouldn't really subject it to high temperatures because it's intermediate in its effects between the saturated fats like coconut oil and the very polyunsaturated fats like corn oil. So yeah, I wouldn't use too much of that. All right. Thanks for your call and all the best to you. I appreciate it. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. You can call us 877-726-TALK. And we got more of Intelligent Medicine coming up for you this weekend.
You're listening to Intelligent Medicine, brought to you by yours truly and the Hoffman Center. You can find a lot more on Intelligent Medicine at drhoffman.com. Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine podcast and automatically get a new episode 5 days a week. And please rate and review the podcast on iTunes to help us spread the word about Intelligent Medicine. Also go to drhoffman.com and click on the store to buy your supplements via our convenient internet portal or call the Hoffman Center and talk to one of our friendly supplement advisors. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients at the Hoffman Center. Finally, become a patient at the Hoffman Center. I'll personally perform an extensive workup on you, applying all the intelligent medicine principles you hear about on the radio show and podcast, or make an appointment with Layla Mudin, our Hoffman Center nutritionist. You already know her as a frequent contributor on Intelligent Medicine, and she'll provide you with expert advice on diet and supplements. Thanks for listening and for helping to spread the word about Intelligent Medicine.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you, and Mary from the Bronx is back. How you doing, Mary?
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks so much.
I studied a medicine in the Bronx that I actually know the Bronx. Yeah, I went to Albert Einstein College of Medicine up there.
Bronx.
Pelham Parkway, all right.
I'm a 60-year-old athletic female. I don't drink or smoke.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, is it okay to take GABA at night to help relax my body?
Why not? I mean, GABA is actually, it's available as a supplement. One company makes a supplement called PharmaGABA, which is nice for relaxing you. It is what's called an inhibitory neurotransmitter. It kind of, you know, calms things down in the brain. And, yeah, definitely worth taking. You know, is it effective? I think it's mildly effective for some people suffering from anxiety. The other way to generate GABA, it turns out, is to take L-theanine. Theanine actually has been shown, although it doesn't contain GABA per se, to trigger GABA production, which has a calmative effect. So if you want to take a chill pill, that's fine.
Okay, great. And I want to say that I lost 30 pounds when I got serious with the salmon and salad diet.
Excellent. Okay, good for you.
Thank you.
That's wonderful to hear. We got people implementing the salad and salmon diet up there in the Bronx.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
Let's talk to Philip from another part of metropolitan area of New York, which is Staten Island. Let's say, we hit all the boroughs here on this program. Hi, Philip.
Hello. Yeah, I have what you call it, retinal vein occlusion, which was an essential one, which damaged the retina.
Yep.
And I was wondering if it's, since I'm taking injections of Avastin to try and dry up the blood, but I'm wondering if it's okay to take any blood thinners like fish oil.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's talk about retinal vein occlusion. It's a condition that occurs often in men more than women, and it hits often in middle or older age, and it's kind of different than an arterial problem would be something like optic neuritis, all right, which is that's actually a nerve problem, but you know, there arterial problems mean that there's not enough circulation getting there. In this case, the vein which takes the return of blood from the eye is occluded. You know, so literally that can cause blindness. It's a mysterious condition. It's treated with Avastin, which is something that reduces proliferation of cells. And it would be perfectly fine to take fish oil. In fact, before the advent of Avastin for this, which you know only recently has been applied to this situation, I would tell patients for sure to take fish oil for retinal vein occlusion. It's going to promote circulation. It's anti-inflammatory. And, you know, it certainly can't hurt because it's not likely that the Avastin is going to dramatically thin the blood, cause bleeding episodes, which could be problematic with something like fish oil that may, you know, have a bit of a blood thinning effect. So that would be good. I think I've also read something about, you know, earlier we mentioned vitamin B3 or nicotinamide in relationship to glaucoma. But I think that there's some studies looking at something called nicotinamide riboside, or brand name Niacel, in that condition. And that may be something worth adding to your program. It can't hurt, and it may benefit the condition. Antioxidants in general, vitamin E, should be helpful for treating this type of problem. All right, it's not well demarcated as macular degeneration, where we know, according to the big studies like the ARID studies, that certain things really work, because it's a rare condition. It hasn't been studied as well in terms of nutrition. But clearly there's a rationale for using antioxidants and fish oil. And vitamin B3 in an activated form, the nicotinamide riboside for that condition. I'd give it a shot, see if it helps. All right, hopefully your sight will return. It usually causes blindness in one eye. That, you know, maybe at least in part reversible. Give it a shot, all right? All right, a couple items I'd like to conclude the program with. A lot of people are avoiding those stressful commutes, and they're working from home. The home office is a new feature of the American workplace. And for a lot of people, this is viewed as a stress reducer. You know, sitting in traffic, heading to the office, dealing with crowds and trains, subways and buses can be stressful. So a lot of people work out of their homes. However, beware of unintended consequences. This according to the United Nations International Labor Organization. They studied the impact of working remotely because technological advances continue to revolutionize our concept of the workplace. And you can work virtually, you know, work in the cloud, bang out your office assignment from your home desk. Based on data taken from 15 countries, the ILO, the International Labor Organization, found that employees were more productive while outside of a conventional office, okay, but noted that it also, quote, brought risks of longer work hours, higher work intensity, and work-home interference. 40% of highly mobile employees said they felt some degree of stress, a figure that was just 25% for office workers. So taking that work home, virtual workspace is a mixed blessing for many people. I think some of you who work from home will agree. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Thanks very much for joining us. Great phone calls, great participation on today's program. You can get more by going to drhoffman.com. Subscribe to our newsletter. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Have yourselves a great weekend. This is Intelligent Medicine.